at WWE, I am still holding out. My hologram will win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. It will go on to take the ladder match for the Intercontinental Heavyweight title. And then I will steal Seth Rollins' briefcase and win the world title. What do you think about that, Chris Walder?
You are one greedy man. You know that?
I'm going to save WrestleMania because it needs some saving.
Save us Savage. Hashtag that on Twitter, folks.
There you go. I don't think we'll get that trending, but a Savage hologram would have a good chance to make this card at this point. I think, Chris Walder, it has been a brutal build to WrestleMania, to say the least.
Yeah, you might be putting it lightly, but yeah, it's been pretty damn brutal.
Yeah, it's not good. Let's talk about something positive off the top. We'll talk a little ROH, although maybe their future isn't looking all that positive either with the news of what NXT seems to be planning to do, and I guess we'll mesh these two things together and get our NXT talk in here too. First and foremost, good news for ROH tonight. They're back at it in Milwaukee. And the return of the last real man, Silas Young, making his in-ring return in his hometown there of Milwaukee. That should be a big deal for the fans there. And Samoa Joe on top against ACH in a card there. That should be pretty phenomenal as well.
ACH getting all these high-profile matches lately. I like it.
Yeah. The thing, though, I always worry with ROH. Whenever they build someone up, are they just building them up to get stolen by WWE at this point?
Yeah, it seems like it. I mean, we're going to talk in a bit about NXT possibly raiding the company. But, yeah, who knows? Maybe their ACH is getting that push, and he'll be out the door sooner rather than later.
And, of course, Samoa Joe's return to ROH is extremely short-lived, as we have found out. On the Jericho podcast, Samoa Joe basically admits he's been in talks with WWE. The word on the street is he's going to get a tryout after this little run with ROH. And thus, the end of the ROH pay-per-view will not connect up with the pay-per-view in June because, quite frankly, both of those guys in that stare-down might not be with the company come then. Because one of the rumors out there now is a team that the WWE had shown interest in before. Now, once again, it's showing interest. I guess enough time has passed from Jay Briscoe's Twitter rant that we can now forget about that, and he can be a part of the WWE system, potentially, as both the Briscoe brothers are going to get a look from the NXT.
Yeah, I mean, it's good if you're an NXT fan, but, I mean, I hopefully no one's upset out there saying, well, all these guys from Ring of Honor turning their backs on the company want to make a run at WWE. If you're a professional wrestler, the end game is always WWE, so I think it's good on these guys for giving it a shot, whether it pans out or not.
Yeah, and we've heard this from wrestlers from Ring of Honor on the show. Adam Cole has said it. Michael Bennett has said it. I mean, a number of guys. I mean, who doesn't want, other than maybe this year's WrestleMania, who doesn't want to be in that big, huge spotlight in the main event of WrestleMania? I mean, it is what every person strives for, I think, in this business. No one is striving to be on Bound for Glory in the main event or Final Battle when they're a kid. No offense to TNA or ROH, but it just simply isn't the case.
Yeah, and these guys are getting on in their careers. They do have a lot of mileage on them, so if they were ever going to make that WWE push, it's probably best to do it now.
Yeah, so anyway, as things go, you will get to see Jay Briscoe and Samoa Joe go at it, but it's going to be WrestleMania weekend in California. And another interesting rumor that will, of course, make all indie feds shudder, or, you know, ROH doesn't like to be considered an independent company, but all the companies that head down there for WrestleMania, guess what? They're at least tinkering with the idea of an NXT show. And if that happens on that weekend, boy, oh boy, a lot of independent shows and other shows connected to WrestleMania weekend are going to suffer from that. Because if NXT puts on a live event as part of WrestleMania weekend, that could take away a lot of eyes and a lot of dollars from a lot of promotions that try and make this a big weekend for them.
And you know WWE did that on purpose, right? I mean, it seems kind of like a dickish mood, but but you know, if fans want to see the Kevin Owens and the Sami Zayns of the world over, you know, if Ring of Honor's doing a show, I mean, NXT has kind of established itself. People will probably kind of go over there and spend their money on NXT.
Yeah, but, you know, at this point, I think a lot of people spent their money. It's not so much what could happen this year. I think it's the precedent heading into next year. Because if now NXT is part of this weekend and has their own night or their own show, that's going to take the dollars away. I think this year, if you don't have your ticket for a lot of those shows down there for WrestleMania weekend, in a lot of cases, you're going to be out of luck because they're probably close to sold out at this point, and NXT hasn't officially announced anything.
Right.
But if you do this in Dallas where, you know, it's been established that NXT is going to be a part of this, yeah, now you got some problems. And, you know, I don't know how I feel about that. In one sense, I think, you know what, it is the WWE's weekend, and everyone else piggybacks on top of it, from WrestleCon to ROH and everybody else. And good on them for being smart enough to do that, but the WWE has every right to do something to counteract that.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to fault WWE for making such a move. I mean, like you said, like companies like Ring of Honor, they're mooching off the fact that a lot of people are going to be congregating in one spot, and they're going to try and get some sales off of that. So if they want to put on an NXT show, you know, go for it, right?
Yeah, it's not just Ring of Honor. It's so many people. I mean, you get these one-man shows with JR. You get, you know, Dragon's Gate goes down there. You get all these WrestleCon where literally any wrestler that isn't signed in the WWE is at WrestleCon. I mean, literally, it's a cornucopia of wrestling independence and wrestling past with all those people in there for that. And from what people say who go to these events, WrestleCon a lot more friendly and experienced than WWE Access, where I gather from WWE Access, I've never been, but I gather it's a lot of lining up for autographs and a few little displays here and there, not exactly, you know, blowing your mind away for the value you're getting for your dollars.
Yeah, I actually went to WrestleMania Access when it was here in Toronto for WrestleMania 18, and you're exactly right. Like, I lined up for an hour to get Ric Flair's autograph, and the guy didn't even say a word to me. And when I was walking around, all I saw were, like, clay molds of Big Show's, like, upper torso and Stacy Keibler's ass, which is always fun to look at, but was it worth the price of admission? I don't know.
Did you touch it?
No, it was in a glass case. Of course I would have touched it. I would have taken a picture with my hand on that sucker.
Was there lots of lip marks on the glass case?
Now we're just getting intense now. I a bunch of guys, single guys, just going up to that thing and kissing Stacy Keibler's ass.
We're talking wrestling fans here. I think this is a totally appropriate line of questioning.
Actually, the highlight of my time there, I actually got a picture with Diamond Dallas Page. He had the old World Wrestling Federation Championship belt with the eagle on it, and my God, I was only in grade 7 at that time, and I put that thing over my shoulder. I wanted to collapse. That thing is huge and heavy.
Yeah, and Paige, for a lot of people who don't know, I think it's widely known, not only WrestleMania, that was 18 that you were at.
Right.
But he was also part of WrestleMania 6, because they were desperate to find someone with a pink Cadillac for the Honky Tonk Man's entrance, and Diamond Dallas Page just so happened had a pink Cadillac. What a surprise.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. A little interesting wrestling trivia for you there.
So there you go. Anyway, as far as ROH goes, you know, things are going all right for the company right now, but I definitely think there's room for concern when you consider that NXT, it's almost like I question what NXT is now. I think it was supposed to be a developmental system in the beginning. I don't know what it is now. I don't know if it is that. I think it's actually becoming its own unique brand to compete with the WWE's competition. And, you know, if they get touring, again, we talk about ROH, you know, and other promotions smaller than them, that's bad news if NXT is starting to come to towns that ROH runs, or other, in more importantly, for the independents that run just locally in those towns. That's not good news.
Well, behind the scenes, it's always going to be developmental. I mean, all of these kids, even the guys that come from the indie circuit, are still getting training on a daily basis. But I think it's established now that this is an alternative brand. And it almost seems like this is what they wanted their reboot of ECW to be, but it never quite panned out to be that. And then they just started bringing in guys from Florida Championship Wrestling and debuting them on programming like Kofi Kingston and Sheamus. But I think they really found a nice little niche here, you know, on the WWE Network using Full Sail University, the production values, the smaller venues, and, you know, bringing in all of these guys that fans already kind of have a background with, you know, knowing them from, you know, Ring of Honor or PWG or, you know, New Japan or wherever they're coming from. So, yeah, why not turn this into just, like, inner competition for the company, because obviously TNA and Ring of Honor aren't going to be challenging WWE and Vince anytime soon. Why not create some competition within the company?
Yeah, and ROH is proven to be a tremendous supplier of talent for WWE. I mean, we go up and down the list of the guys that ROH has put in this company in the last 10 years. It's an impressive list, and it's almost gotten to the point that NXT is become Triple-A baseball and ROH is now Double-A, and of course WWE is the big show of the major leagues. But you know, it's interesting times, because a lot of people say, you know, independent wrestling has never been bigger than it is right now, and I have no reason to doubt that. But if WWE starts coming in and making their footprint in that realm, in that area, what's that going to mean? It could mean damaging things for a lot of, not so much ROH, because ROH does have Sinclair's backing. They will always have that to fall back on, but when you look at the small independent promotions, they don't have that. Like a PWG, if WWE ever ran NXT and Reseda against PWG, what happens? You know, like, PWG's in trouble.
Well, you also have to look at it from the talent's perspective, too. I mean, they're looking at what's going on in NXT right now, and they realize that some of the guys that they used to work with might not be making as much money as they could on the independent circuit. I mean, you look at some of the paychecks in AJ Styles or a Young Bucks tandem are making. It's pretty decent money, but if you go to NXT, you're basically forfeiting that for the chance of just being a WWE superstar. So, if an Adam Cole, for example, was to see some of his old friends in NXT thriving and succeeding, maybe he says, okay, now's as good a time as any. I've kind of established myself in Ring of Honor. I've been their world champion. I want to move on and upward. I should go to NXT.
I think the Young Bucks are a different case, though, in the sense of, now, this has nothing to do with how I love the Young Bucks and all that, but I think they see what tag team wrestling is in the WWE. Are really Nick and Matt Jackson going to be able to come into that company and change that, especially at their size and how WWE views size? Probably not. And if that's the case, then are they any different than, you know, are they just a team that gets added to a four-way match at WrestleMania like Los Jobadores or the New Day that we saw this week in WWE? I don't know if they would be anything bigger than that, and that's obviously not something that they want to do, and their success is well documented. They are making a ton of money and working awfully hard to get it, but, you know, I can see it from their perspective. As a single wrestler, I think it's a different story.
No, I'll agree with you. I mean, the tag team division's a joke, and we'll talk about Monday Night Raw later in this apparent four-way that we're going to get at WrestleMania, but at the end of the day, as successful as the Young Bucks are doing what they're doing right now, being on the WWE, you know, the wheel, just, you know, if they would become tag team champions or just being a regular on Monday Night Raw every week, I think that just pushes them above and beyond even where they are now.
Yeah, it's just, it's strange, though. I can see it from their point of view in the sense of the upside for them going to the WWE, especially starting off in WWE developmental, might not be the greatest for them. Because as much as we rave about how great NXT is, I think the one thing that has always been lacking from the beginning in NXT is their tag team division. It's been pretty damn awful, to be quite blunt. I mean, the only tag team champions that they've had in NXT that I think were legitimate were the Wyatts. I think when Luke Harper and Rowan had the belts, that was a legitimate tag team, but pretty much it's hodgepodge and it's just a mess with everything else they've done with their tag team division.
No love for the Ascension, James?
They're not even in the... Los Jobadors are apparently ahead of them in the old food chain, so no.
I'm saying they were booked well in NXT. Clearly they're an afterthought. Now, if they can't even get into this tag team, this convoluted mess that, you know, it's New Day and Los Matadores and whatnot, that just shows, like, they're completely done. I think they lost to the Lucha Dragons during a Superstars taping before SmackDown or Raw, so they're completely shot. They're done.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with them. Actually, it's a mess. Yeah. But anyway, all that being said, NXT's television continues to be quite compelling. And I tell you something, though. Alex Riley made his debut, and it took me all of 2 minutes to remember why Alex Riley is doing commentary.
Oh, come on. It wasn't that bad.
He was just some hyped-up guy, and... Like, his promo was decent, but it was kind of over the top for me. And, I mean, don't get me wrong. Kevin Owens is going to make this program work, and he's going to end up winning. And it'll all work out for Kevin Owens. But as far as Alex Riley, I'm not even lying. It took all of 2 minutes to go, yeah, that's why he never worked.
It's a little harsh. I mean, his match with CJ Parker wasn't anything to write home about, but for someone who hasn't been in the ring as long as he has, I think he put on a decent bout. Obviously, this whole thing with Kevin Owens is going to work out well, mostly for Owens. I think Riley's just going to go back to, you know, get lost in the shuffle or just head back to commentary when it's done. But, you know, Kevin Owens at the top of the stage making fun of Alex Riley's back tattoo, I thought that was hilarious. I can't wait to see when these two finally cross paths, which I know when and what will happen because I am Mr. Spoiler. I won't tell you anything, though, James.
I'm pretty sure Alex Riley didn't win in that match. I don't need spoilers to tell me that. I'm just saying. But
I know.
No, it's not happening. It won't happen. There's no way in hell. Unless he gets heavily assisted by one Finn Balor, which would make sense storyline-wise, but still.
Right.
It's just... Alex Riley, to me, just doesn't have it, and it was made clear to me in, like, 2 minutes. And you say, oh, well, he was only wrestling C.J. Parker. I got news for you. Kevin Owens debuted against C.J. Parker. It was only C.J. Parker then, too, but what did you think about Kevin's match with C.J. Parker? Pretty damn impressive.
Yeah, even with the busted-up nose, it was, yeah, you're right. It was better than what Riley put forth, so.
Yes, yeah, the way you compare apples to apples, look at Kevin Owens, look at Alex Riley. I mean,
I'm just trying to stick up for Riley here. The guy gets picked on so damn much.
Well, it's because he associated himself with The Miz, and then he got a DUI charge, and CM Punk went after him full bore. I mean, he hasn't exactly ingratiated himself to fans of wrestling or the WWE.
Does he survive the year with WWE?
If he's legitimately back full-time as a wrestler, I think he's made a horrible mistake.
No, I really do feel he'd go back to commentary, but you're right. If he does stick as a wrestler, and that's what he wants to do for the foreseeable future, there's no way they keep him. I mean, I don't know where you... And NXT, there's so much talent, and fans are just kind of like, whatever, it's Alex Riley, it's cool to see him wrestle once, but as like a main event guy in that brand, hell no.
Well, I go back to Triple H's conference call before the last... big show for NXT, and the topic of Alex Riley being off of commentary and kind of gone was brought up, and Triple H said they had some plans for Alex that were going to take him in a different direction, and this was what Alex wanted, which leads me to suggest that this isn't just a program with Kevin Owens. This is like he wants to get back in the ring and be a wrestler.
Well, he completely broke down on WWE.com when he did, like, his post-match interview. Like, this is something he's wanted for so long. I mean, he appreciated the opportunity to be a commentator, but whenever he wanted to do something in the ring, they said, well, maybe another week, another month, another year. Now he finally has that opportunity. He has to really milk this for all it's worth. If he can turn nothing into something, get a really good program out of Kevin Owens, which so far it looks good, it looks promising. But after that, you know, he has to kind of continue keeping that momentum and, you know, get into something meaningful and keep his stock high. Otherwise, it's just going to be back to where he started.
And don't get me wrong, I thought his promo, even though it was a little over the top and a little heavy-handed for me, fantastic. It's the in-ring. He just doesn't come off as believable to me.
He's generic.
He just doesn't come off as believable. He has all this fake built-up fire in him, and I just don't believe any of it.
Well, it is what it is. We'll see what happens with Owens, and then he'll obviously move on to Finn Balor, which is the money match we all want to see.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty exciting, and Kevin Owens already claiming victory in that, and, you know, who's to doubt Kevin at this point?
He hasn't
been wrong yet. Let's put it that way.
We all know your love affair with Owens. We get it.
Hey, he's pretty damn good.
He is, KO.
And I'm not the only one who says so. A lot of other people do, too. As for the rest of NXT, I really thought we talk about this developmental versus being its own brand. I really thought this was like developmental week on NXT because all of the matches were kind of generic, and it wasn't like the big stars. I mean, the main event was Hideo Tommy and Tyler Breeze, and I thought, you know, it was what it was. We've seen these guys go at it a number of times, and it's kind of the same thing every time. And Tommy's almost backed himself into a corner with this teasing the GTS thing, which we didn't see in this match. And I often wonder. I get the feeling that would get over with the NXT crowd.
Right.
But you bring him up to Raw, I think he gets booed out of the building.
No chance he gets booed for that. The smart fans who show up to Monday Night Raw know that he was the guy who originated the move. I think they'd pop crazy for it if he ever nailed it.
The smartest fans, but the ones who are CM Punk fans and just disgruntled WWE fans, those are the people that won't like it.
How many of those people still exist, though? How many of those guys actually show up to these events? Are you talking about the people that are chanting CM Punk during Divas matches?
Those people, they're right. Going to be the ones that aren't going to like it.
They're going to, no, I completely disagree. I think they're going to just eat it up. And besides, he might not even pull it off ever, because if he starts wrestling some larger guys, you can't lift him up in the first place.
That's the other problem. I mean, he is a small guy, and that's not a move that he can do. And I don't know, he's just been the one of all those guys that really, I'm sorry, it's just not working. It's not clicking. Tyler Breeze, on the other hand, he's back on his game. I love the selfie stick. I love everything that Tyler's doing. I think he's really a guy who got lost in the shuffle for a while down in NXT, but really starting to shine again.
Well, he was hurt for a while, right?
A little bit, but, I mean, in that time, NXT just blew up when he was out.
Well, because they were pushing the NXT 5, as we like to call them. So, but, of course, you can't do that every week, so you need some of the other guys, the developmental guys, like Tyler Breeze, to come up. And I think that victory over Tommy was huge. I mean, I could really see him getting back into the title picture soon.
Yeah, and we saw Enzo and Kaz, they took on, who did they take on again?
Both Lucha Dragons, right?
All right, the Lucha Dragons. I go back to what we said on this podcast a while ago. This tag team works down in NXT. Main roster, Big Kaz is the guy. Enzo's a mouthpiece. He's not a wrestler.
You don't think their catchphrases and whatnot will get him over?
I think it will, but I think you can do it with Enzo as the manager of Big Kaz just as easily as you can with them as a tag team.
I mean, you've seen relationships like that. Remember, you know, Brian Kendrick, when he had Ezekiel Jackson in this corner. They used to do some tag matches on occasion, and it looked silly when you had a really small guy with a really big guy, but you know what? I think their chemistry in the ring and their gimmick being, it's hilarious. I absolutely love it. Kind of has like a Jersey Shore feel to it, but not as lame as what they're doing in TNA with Robbie E and Jesse. So I really do think they'll be on the main roster soon because, frankly, I mean, they've been down there for a couple of years now. What else is there really left for them to do? Move them up to Monday Night Raw, see if they got the stuff.
Heck, Enzo was included in those Bill DeMott stories. That's how long he's been there.
No, yeah, Mr. Bill DeMott. Are we ever going to brush off some oldies with some stories that are leaking out about this guy?
I think we said it all there was to say last week, pretty much. I mean, I don't know if anything's new other than the fact he didn't like Kevin Steen's match that we just put over like 3 minutes ago. Everyone loved it except for him, apparently.
Doesn't like being a high flyer, even though DeMott did a moonsault.
What I think it is. I think Bill DeMott's jealous that Kevin Steen can do what Bill DeMott used to do back in the day.
The bigger story coming out of that, though, was that Triple H has some pretty hardcore favoritism for those five guys.
Damn right. He basically said, let Kevin do what he wants.
Let him do whatever they want, because they're the ones drawing in the viewers for NXT right now. So if they want to do flips over the top rope or dives through the rope, hell, let them. Everybody else, screw you. You're going to be doing the basics until you get it right.
So in other words, the NXT 5 is staying there until Vince dies. That's basically my thing.
Oh, yeah. Why would? There's no reason to move any of them up to the main roster right now.
Oh, well, you know, I mean, I think there's the level of frustration that a Sami Zayn or an Adrian Neville feels at this point. But beyond that, no, bad things could happen to them, you're right.
Yeah, you don't want Vince McMahon to get his hands on any of these guys and throw a Mighty Mouse gimmick at them or turn Sami Zayn into a rabbi or something. Hell no.
I don't know. Sami Zayn rapping could be interesting, though.
Sami Zayn as a rapper?
Yeah, why not? A white rapper with, you know, red hair? I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Maybe.
A Red Rocket.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, we talked Total Divas. We'll get into people with red hair later.
Oh, no, do we have to?
Oh, we do! It was a big season finale of Total Divas.
Oh, yeah, it was the season finale. Okay, so this is going to be like our last
that's
Total
huge.
Divas talk.
Yeah, we won't have to talk Total Divas again until July.
All right, okay.
But we'll get to that later. Speaking of women, though, and girls not on Total Divas as of yet, we saw Carmella and returning Alexa Bliss. And I'm a big, huge fan of Alexa Bliss, although this match with Carmella did not exactly blow my world away, but what I like about Alexa Bliss is I think on the next level, and I try and look at these people when I watch them in NXT, what are they on the next level? Alexa Bliss to me appeals to kids just like Bayley, but also, unlike Bayley, she's got some looks to her. She reminds me a lot of Trish Stratus, like a lot, like a miniature Trish.
Alexa Bliss?
Yeah, really.
As Trish, I mean, to each their own, I guess. But I agree in the sense that once she gets to the main roster, kids are going to absolutely adore her because, I mean, she kind of looks like the princess from Frozen, and she does the whole blowing of the pixie dust stuff. So with Frozen still being as huge as it is...
Oh, they're doing a sequel, so
yeah.
Book it.
Oh,
Alexa Bliss to the main roster as soon as Frozen 2 hits studios.
The most overrated film I've ever seen. I cannot believe that film made as much money as it did.
Hey,
Frozen.
The Young Bucks kids love that movie, so I am all for it, even though I have never seen it.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, apparently.
Did they mention that on Twitter or something?
Yes. I am all about the Young Bucks. I know everything they do.
So are you going to watch Frozen now?
No.
Okay, well then.
The Young Bucks endorse it. That's good enough for me.
All right.
Anyway, but no, what I mean by the sense of Trish, I think Alexa Bliss is kind of that mix between what the WWE is striving for. I think ultimately what fans want is they want girls that are attractive, but they want girls that can work. And she's right in that mix in the middle there somewhere. I think her work has a long way to come, but so did Trish when she started. And I think if she keeps working at it and keeps going at it hard, I think she's got the looks and she can eventually develop the in-ring work to be someone who is a force to be reckoned with. And, you know, being so tiny, when we talk about who's probably going to dominate this division with Charlotte, I think a program with her and Charlotte would make huge money with Charlotte as a heel and her as the face. I think that's just money waiting to be printed.
And remember, Alexa has more of a background as an actual wrestler than Trish did when she first appeared on TV. She was just a manager doing the TNA stuff, and then she eventually developed into an in-ring performer and, you know, became the greatest diva of all time. But I'm rooting for Alexa Bliss. I do like her look, and I agree with you. I think the male demographic out there, you know, with all due respect to someone like Bayley, she doesn't have the looks of someone like Alexa Bliss, and I think everyone in the company notices that. They don't even think Charlotte has the looks with all those reports coming out that she's not total diva material or whatnot. So I think Alexa Bliss kind of fits the best of both worlds. She's great looking, she can wrestle, although she still has a ways to go before she becomes really good. And, you know, she could join the likes of the AJ Lees and the Pages of the world to bring both qualities to the table.
And I think, you know, being in the ring with Carmella didn't help. I mean, Carmella to me is like a part of this whole sideshow Jersey Shore thing. But, I mean, I don't know if it's legitimately I think this girl lost to Blue Pants or it's just I just don't like her ability to work in the ring. But it, you know, you watch all those divas go at it down in NXT, and you can clearly see a difference in the match we saw this week.
Carmella's a New York version of Sasha Banks. We don't need another kind of cocky, like, waving the hand, you know, I'm the boss kind of girl. And, I mean, I love her finisher, that whole leg choke thing. I think that's spectacular. But other than that, I think her ceiling is so diminished by the character that she's portraying. The only chance she has is if she ever gets brought up with Enzo and Cass.
Yeah, it's just I don't know. Like I just see that whole group being about Big Cass. I don't see it as a tag team. I Vince McMahon's gonna take one look at that guy and what's he gonna see?
I don't know what.
He's gonna see a big, huge, tall guy that can get tall. Over.
Yeah, he's tall. He's not exactly built like a beast or anything.
No, but he's big and he's tall and like he's got. He's got size and potential, and I think that's what Vince would automatically gravitate to.
Is that why we saw Eric Rowan get his little mini main event push there for a bit?
Maybe. Or maybe Vince just likes sheep. I don't know.
And Carmella's going to get sued for her damn entrance music. That's Iggy Azalea. Well, they couldn't even use DDP's Smells Like Teen Spirit music when he came to WWE, but hell, we'll rip off Iggy Azalea and give her Carmella some music. So screw it. I don't want her to succeed anyway. They're going to lose a lot of money over her.
Okay, after the podcast, you'll have to explain to me who Iggy Azalea is.
You know Nick Young of the Los Angeles Lakers? That's his girlfriend.
Oh, God. Wow, that's...
He's an Aussie rapper, one of the biggest hip-hop artists in the world right now.
Really? This is why I'm not into hip-hop, Walder. This is
clearly.
Why...
This is pop culture. She's a big deal.
Really? All right.
Yeah.
I've heard the name. I didn't know, like, much about her.
All right, well, there you go. Iggy Azalea for you.
Wow. Yeah, I know who Nicki Minaj is. So there. But anyway.
Oh, good for you. You know Nicki Minaj.
Yeah. And I know Drake. And we'll get into other rappers. I now know Wiz Khalifa. Actually, I knew him before.
Yeah.
Do we want to start our Raw talk off with this? Let's give some tips to the Wiz, because clearly he did not know what the hell he was doing. Okay, you come on a wrestling show, and you're a musician. Okay, here's the thing. People are not there to hear you sing. I don't care if it is your hometown or not. So you probably want to get in, and you want to get out. Do one song real quick, get in and out of there, get, you know, somebody popular on the roster to come out there with you. They at least got that part right, because they used Mizdow and not Zena.
Yeah.
Which I thought, big, big news for Mizdow. Like a little thing that happened on Raw that most people would say, that means nothing. No, that meant a lot for Mizdow. But, that being said, you don't go doing a 10-minute set, and you sure as hell don't wear a John Cena shirt out there. And then, when you're a skinny little rail, you don't rip the shirt off like you're Hulk Hogan or Curtis Axel. Because that's not going to be cool. So Wiz Khalifa, next time, learn.
It's 3 hours, man. What are they going to fill up? It was either that or like another Divas match or 10 more minutes for Los Matadores or something. So I'm actually not the biggest Wiz Khalifa hater. I have some of his stuff on my iPod for whatever reason. I think my girlfriend might have put it on there. But, you know, his performance, I was making fun of it because his first song was actually just like 5 words over and over and over again. So I thought that was pretty stupid.
That is actually one of the lovely songs that you get on WWE 15, by the way.
And that's one of the reasons why I don't own WWE 15.
I don't know. The NXT pack came out this week. Really exciting. You can get Emma dancing and Adam Rose, all the big characters that have been huge successes from NXT.
Yeah, whoop-de-friggin-do. I actually saw Sami Zayn's entrance for that video game. The guy doesn't even dance. He just walks down to his super cool you know, upbeat music, and it looks so bad, and I couldn't bear myself to spend $60 on that crap.
Oh, Sammy in next year to do motion capture, so get it all right.
Yeah, do some dancing, Sammy. I want to see some moves.
Wow. Anyway, so that was Wiz Khalifa. That was only one of a number of train wrecks on this Raw. This may have been one of the worst Raws leading into a WrestleMania that I can ever remember.
That's been the case every week, though, with Monday Night Raw. And you have to give them some leeway here, because three of their main event matches, three of their top stars aren't going to be on television every single week. So what do you expect them to do? Obviously, they're going to have to put more of an emphasis on this Intercontinental title ladder match, and there's like eight guys that you have to push now. And then there's the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, and then there's the Divas Tag, and then, you know, obviously they close the show with Seth Rollins and Randy Orton. So, yeah, it's not the most impressive build you've ever seen, but it's all they can do at this point.
No. But piece by piece, this show sucked.
Yeah, it was crap.
So let's start with our opening segment. Randy Orton has been wasting 3 weeks of everyone's time, pretending he's a member of the Authority. He comes out there. It's all laughs and giggles. He pretends like he's ripping into all the members of the Authority. And then in the end, no, Randy Orton, big humorist as we know. Him and Dolph Ziggler, they do sets at the club back to back. He says, no, it was all just a gag. Don't worry about it. Me and you, Seth Rollins, in the main event, we're going to take out that Roman Reigns dude. Which, you know, that's really good. Like, let's keep our top babyface looking strong, right?
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to that a little later. And that went on for, I believe, 18 minutes. Not that I was counting at home. By the way, this show overall ran over past 16 minutes. Like, I think it went to 18 minutes. Like, I DVR Raw, and I set it for 15 minutes over. No, I didn't get the end of Raw, because we went that long over. And this was a show that was totally awful.
Yeah, it's because Randy Orton was beating the crap out of Seth Rollins for, I think I clocked it in around 15 minutes, and they went into the crowd, and then they RKO'd him through a table, which finally worked. I mean, Randy Orton versus the table is one of the biggest rivalries in WWE history.
Pay off at WrestleMania? No, it pays off on a Raw.
Yeah, what else could they possibly do now at WrestleMania? I mean, saving the RKO spot through the announce table probably would have been saved better for the big stage. You know?
Okay, so we've got a lot of other crap to get through. Let's get this one out of the way. No, we'll save that for later, because we're going to talk Total Divas, so we might as well put the Bella's Flintstone promo in with that.
yeah, I totally forgot about that.
Oh, yeah.
Terrible puns.
No, trust me, I have not forgot anything that happened on this show. It was that bad, it stained my mind.
Oh, poor James.
Let's get into the John Cena Rusev BS that we ended up having. We have a very stage segment backstage where John Cena warns Rusev, don't you dare say anything bad about America, because if you do, John Cena will be there to defend America. Oh, joy, now we're going to the American angle. Like, why now, all of a sudden, now it's a U.S. versus Russia angle? Okay, whatever. Anyway, so Rusev comes out, and who is he taking on? That young upstart babyface, Curtis Axel, who I've got to say, I was not on board with Axelmania when it first started. I am getting to become a fan, because this is a total mockery of Hulk Hogan, and I love it.
Oh, jump on the bandwagon, James. This is one of the highlights of Monday Night Raw. Axelmania, often imitated but never eliminated.
Apparently, have you heard, you probably heard this because you're up on stuff, but apparently at house shows, he's literally coming out to Real America.
Is he really?
Yeah. Apparently this is happening on house shows. He's coming out to Real American.
Oh my God, that's so perfect.
My God, I thought we were going to have it on Monday. I thought with him facing Rusev, oh my God, they're going to do it with Axel coming out to Real American. That did not happen. And it's probably a good thing, considering Axel did a horrible job of representing America and his push to get into WrestleMania, as Rusev just absolutely destroyed him. Which, you know, sad for Curtis Axel, who's getting a little bit of a buzz. But obviously, Rusev has to look strong. I get that. No problem.
Oh, I want him to win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Who, Axel?
Oh, badly. Oh, my God. How hilarious would that be if Axel won?
No, all the Miz.
The Royal Rumble Massacre and go on to hoist the trophy. Who, it doesn't really matter at this point who wins that damn thing.
Mizdow. Mizdow has to win that.
Mizdow's not winning it. He's going to eliminate the Miz, but he's not winning it.
Well, he has to win it. Like, I mean, that if he doesn't, it's a huge mistake. With all that's in that match, it's a massive mistake. But anyway, getting back to our John Cena-Rusev feud. So, the match is over. Lana and Rusev are in the ring. Lana doesn't seem to want to talk, which is rare for Lana. And Rusev is saying, no, 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 I want a microphone. Give me the microphone. Finally, he gets a mic, and of course, he rips into America. He says America's weak and all that stuff. You know, Iron Sheik, Nikolai Volkov, 1985 playbook. And of course, out comes the conquering hero, John Cena. And boy, does he lay a beating on Rusev. And he locks him in that STF. And I heard another podcast say what a wonderful job John Cena did with this move. I totally 100% disagree. The second time he put it on him, he didn't even have it around his chin. John Cena should never use this move. He's horrible at it. Unfortunately, with this angle, he has to use it because part of the idea is Cena has a move to make Rusev tap out, just like Rusev has the good old-fashioned camel clutch, which now has a modern name that I will not use because I respect the Iron Sheik. But anyway.
Just call it the Acolyte.
I know, but still. The Iron Sheik, it's a camel clutch.
All right.
Anyway, so the second time he puts it on him, he's literally knocked him out. This is your baby face, by the way. Just coming out there and just beating the hell out of a man. And Lana is begging for him to stop. Says, okay, Cena, stop. Fine, you've got your match. Then, no, that wasn't good enough. Because the U.S. title is so prestigious that it had to be for the U.S. title. Walter, it couldn't have just been a normal match. That wasn't good enough. So the U.S. title. And then finally, with crazed psycho killer look on his face, John Cena releases the hold and walks away.
Riveting.
It was awful. And here's one of the things. What would have made that better is something that smart fans know, but I don't think everyone knows. If you had established the fact that Rusev and Lana actually have a relationship, much better. Because then Lana's, you know, she's not just seeing Rusev there. That's her boyfriend, not only her meal ticket. And you can see why she would so easily cave to giving John Cena his way. But clearly that hasn't been established on television at all. And I just thought this was pretty weak, and I guess this is what we're setting up for Lana going off to make her movie, because if what we fear will happen happens, and Rusev loses at WrestleMania to John Cena, and now that John Cena is representing America, I can almost guarantee you that's what happens. That's probably why Lana goes away, because Rusev will shoo her away, because she has let him down.
Well, they teased that on Raw, right, when Rusev was getting treatment backstage, and he basically told her to, you know.
We don't know what he told her, but it didn't sound good.
You know, walked away in disgust. It was bad enough. I mean, maybe they just teased a breakup, you know, they just go separate ways. But yeah, you're right, Lana's going to be off television after WrestleMania doing the whole movie thing and whatnot. But again, I don't see John Cena winning this match. I think he's smart enough to know that there's obviously something really special right now with Rusev. It's been a long time since we've seen this kind of anti-American character get over to the degree it has. I mean, they wanted that with Muhammad Hassan, but then the timing of the whole 9/11 thing and then having the terrorists come in and the controversy there. But with Rusev, it's being done so damn well. And Rusev, who probably had no business being as huge as he has right now, he's made the U.S. title important. He's in a feud with arguably the biggest star in the company right now at WrestleMania for a mid-card belt, and I'm all for it. And I really do think he gets the win.
I just don't see it, because you reference those old matches and all that. Hulk Hogan always beat Nikolai Volkoff. Hulk Hogan always beat Iron Sheik. John Cena is Hulk Hogan. It's not going to happen.
No, I'll go against the grain then. I think Rusev's going to win. I think it's going to be his cementing into the main event scene. And at some point, I think there is money in a Roman Reigns versus Rusev match for the world title. So I'm going to hold on to that thought anyways.
Now, because we've got this whole breakup thing with Lana probably happening. Could Lana throw in the towel and that's how he loses? And then Rusev can still at least claim to be undefeated and claim to have never submitted, because technically he won't have. Lana threw in the towel.
No, absolutely not. One of those two are tapping out or getting pinned at WrestleMania. There's no beating around the bush. There's not going to be any more passing out. It's either Rusev or Cena losing cleanly, no controversy, and then we move forward.
So no Bret Hart, Bob Backlund for you?
Oh, God, no.
That's the last time I can remember.
Cena throwing the towel gimmick. I mean, Cena ain't tapping out. I don't think WWE will ever have the guts to do that. But Rusev, I mean, I'm shocked in the first place that they even let him tap out to the STF on Raw. I know
he tapped out. He's passed out. He got beat down.
Yeah.
The only person who took a worse beating on this show was Seth Rollins.
Yeah, it was much longer, too.
Yeah, prolonged in agony.
Yeah, but Rusev, I didn't understand the logic behind that. It's going to be a huge moment when he does tap out, but he just tapped out for no damn reason, and he passed out. That's two for one right there. Two red flags.
Yeah, the only highlight of the program, Brock Lesnar. Hey, he was at the show, and guess what? He came out this time. That's exciting. He held his belt, and while he held his belt, Paul Heyman went to work. And my God, Paul Heyman is amazing. He has taken a match that, truthfully, no one cares about. No one at all cares about this match. And by God, he has turned Brock Lesnar into a baby face that everyone wants to see crush Roman Reigns. That's what he's accomplished. I don't know if that's what WWE wanted him to accomplish, but that's what he's accomplished.
It was a worked shoot. Like 100%. I mean, there was obviously WWE was aware of what he was going to say, and they played off the whole, well, there's somebody backstage cutting off his mic, like happened last week, where it really was genuine technical difficulties. But this week they played it off as, okay, he's obviously pissing somebody off. But
is there going to be a payoff to this?
Like what exactly?
Like the person who's cutting the mic? Is there really, like? Obviously, the implication is it's Vince.
Right.
So is there going to be some kind of payoff where Paul Heyman gets his revenge on Vince McMahon somehow?
No. They did the same exact thing when Triple H and CM Punk were feuding, and CM Punk's mic would get cut off, and, you know, when I think there was a promo once where they were face-to-face, and Punk wanted to say something, and at the last second, his mic cut, and even Triple H didn't know what was going on, but we never got a definitive answer as to who was doing that. But again, we all know it's Vince, and Paul Heyman, I mean, he's implying that it's like one of the head honchos of the Authority or what have you, but him bringing up UFC and the possibility of Brock Lesnar unifying the UFC and WWE championships was so gold, because all of the smart fans out there are aware that there's a big possibility that WrestleMania 31 will be Lesnar's last match, and if you were to... he's not winning. He's not going to leave as champion, but...
Technically he's under contract till the next night.
Yeah, but do you think he would lose it on Raw?
It's a way to swerve fans. Like, it is a possibility that's out there, because if he wins, everyone's going to think he's back, and that's not necessarily the truth.
What does that say about Roman Reigns, though?
It says Roman Reigns hasn't got over in this program, and he hasn't. I think ultimately it still goes back to, if Brock's leaving, Paul Heyman should go with Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
And Paul Heyman's rationale for this is, you wanted your big babyface champion, you wanted to make all this money, well now I'm going to make the money, not you. And I'm gonna make money with Brock Lesnar in the UFC, and I'm going to make money with Roman Reigns too, and you're getting nothing.
That's not bad, James.
Hey, you know, it makes sense. I mean, I just think Roman as a babyface, no one's going to accept it. And the other thing, too, when we talked about this last year with Daniel Bryan, coming out of WrestleMania, what's next for the new babyface champion? There's not a lot out there. You mentioned Rusev. That would be a match, but I expect Rusev to lose, so I think a lot of your steam from that gets sucked away. Bray Wyatt, if he got a win over The Undertaker, that could be a foe, but I don't expect that to happen either. So there's a couple guys that potentially you could have. But turn Roman Reigns heel, now where are all your matches? I mean, you've got match after match for this guy. He can go against John Cena, freshly turned Randy Orton, Dean Ambrose. You know, like, the list goes on and on.
Well, remember, he doesn't have to fight a new guy at every pay-per-view, right? Like, if he can get a couple of months with the program with Seth Rollins, and then move on to Bray Wyatt, and then eventually drop the title at SummerSlam to, like, a Rusev or something, that's fine. I mean, most of the time when you win at WrestleMania, SummerSlam is pretty much, like, the break-even point of your title reign. So, but Roman Reigns, I'm with you. I think he does make the switch, if not at WrestleMania, then the following night, because again, his whole, you know, push to the main event and being this number one face who the company obviously wants to be kind of the new John Cena or the new face for the next decade or so, it's clear as day that he's not ready, and that's why so many people are just not excited about the main event of a WrestleMania.
Are they excited about anything on this WrestleMania? But before we get to that, this goes back to a conversation we had a while back. I think a heel Roman Reigns can ride that title all the way to WrestleMania 32 and you do Rock and Roman Reigns. I think that is a match that after Roman has had that year as that heel champion, fans would be ready for and would be excited for at WrestleMania 32, which I think is now WrestleMania Star. We're going by emoticons now for WrestleManias, apparently, because the kids are saying that this is WrestleMania play button now. I don't know if you know that, Chris Walder.
Yeah, it's dumb. It's WrestleMania 31. Stop trying to be clever, people.
Whatever. Anyway, whatever WrestleMania will be, it'll be next year in Dallas, and they'll need to sell a lot of tickets. And I think Roman Reigns and The Rock is one of the ways you sell a lot of those tickets.
I would just rather not fathom a year-long title reign for Roman Reigns, even if he does have Paul Heyman by his side. You know, he ain't going to be cutting any decent promos. He's not going to be having any five-star classics. He got lucky with Daniel Bryan at Fastlane, but that's Daniel Bryan.
I disagree. I think you put Seth Rollins in a match with him, if you turn Seth babyface, that could be a five-star match for him. I think Dean Ambrose could be a five-star match with him. I think where he runs into trouble, and it's kind of ironic in the way that they booked him, is he runs into trouble when he faces other big guys. When he faces Big Show, when he faces Kane, when he faces guys like that, he looks terrible. But yeah. I think you put him in there with smaller guys that can work around him, I think he's fine. I think he'll do great.
So you're saying he needs someone, you know, a medium-sized or tiny skilled guy who can basically carry a match for 20 minutes, and Roman Reigns, he's not a disaster. I don't want to, like, put forth that idea, but at the same time, he does need someone who's very specific in terms of what they can do in the ring to make him look like $1 million. And that's why, you know, remember the Cole Cabana podcast with CM Punk. Everyone was saying, make Roman Reigns look good. I'm sure people on the roster today are still getting conversations like that.
Well, I mean, and you've got guys who can do that. So I think you can play that out for a year and make it work. And, you know, I think it has a potential to be something great. And when you wonder how willing Rock would be to come back to do a match, that's one he comes back for.
No, for what, Roman?
Yeah, no ifs, ands, or buts. It's family. He'll do it.
Family?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean The Rock? Oh, I thought you said Brock.
No, not Brock. Brock's gone.
The Rock?
Brock,
yeah.
Brock will be in the UFC, and he will not be at WrestleMania 32.
No, it doesn't need the title, though. I think Rock and Roman will happen at some point, but I wouldn't put the title on the line.
Well, whatever. But I think, or, okay, then Rock comes out, Royal Rumble, and costs Roman the belt.
Right.
To whoever.
That would be a nice little swerve after what we just got.
Yeah, but, you know, like I just think that's a money match. I'm not saying you need the title on it, but Roman definitely needs a long run in which The Rock is responsible for it ending.
Just get rid of your damn Shield gear, Roman Reigns. That's what bothers me more than anything.
You want to see Roman Reigns in tights, dude?
I just think the whole Shield thing needs to end. I mean, I've said this on the podcast before. Roman Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins both have completely different characters from them, the guys they were in the Shield, but Roman Reigns still living off that entrance music, still living off that entrance, still living off that whole, you know, believe in that crap. I mean, why not just try and be your own man now? You're living off of a group that is long dead.
Whatever. Anyway, the knucklehead stuff continues for the Intercontinental title. I don't even want to waste my time on it. R-Truth comes out and makes commentary even worse. How that's possible is a mystery to me. And the belt keeps changing hands like the old hardcore title. Way to build up that Intercontinental title. Good job, boys. Moving on. The other big angle of the night, I guess, is the Undertaker and Bray Wyatt thing. Bray Wyatt apparently has broken into CM Punk's home in Chicago, stolen the urn from his kitchen, and he has it here in, where were they, Pittsburgh?
Yeah, Pittsburgh, yeah.
And he opens up the urn, and nothing happens. And no, it was not technical difficulties. We actually had some smoke come out, and, you know, and then the Undertaker comes on, and lightning hits the urn and it turns into a rocking chair. I don't know. It's the typical hokey Undertaker stuff. You talked about the fact that we have three matches building up basically with one person there. Why can't Grandpa Taker come out and do a show? Like, would it have been so hard for him to come and stand on a stage? Would that have been too tough for him?
Well, he was there. That was not a recording when he said the whole rest in peace stuff. He was backstage with the microphone saying that.
Well, who cares? No one in the building knows that.
No, but still, I mean, it adds kind of, you know, a mystique to this match. Because frankly, everyone thinks he's going to appear at least once. But all of these reports saying he's not, they're just going to keep him off like they did in the build-up towards WrestleMania 20 and his match against Kane. But I think Bray Wyatt's done a terrific job building up a feud against a guy who's not even on television. I thought his promo on Raw was one of his best ever, and me and you talked about this before we started taping this. You weren't as much of a fan nearly as much as I was.
I like Bray's promos. I like what Bray's part of this angle.
Yeah, but you're not a fan of The Undertaker.
Yeah, I'm just not a fan of... I'm not a fan of The Undertaker, necessarily. I think the streak died. It should have ended there. And I just don't... I don't need to see The Undertaker come back only to get some token victory over Bray Wyatt. And, you know, like, what purpose does that serve?
Well, people wanted to see one more Undertaker match, at least. I think WrestleMania 32 will be his, like, retirement match. But I thought from the beginning that Bray Wyatt was probably going to be the guy to end the streak, but he's taken Undertaker losing and turned it into something else entirely. Like, you know, like, find me and, you know, I can end you once and for all. Like, the imagery of him staring at that rocking chair while it was set ablaze and he was laughing, I thought was such a powerful moment. And Bray Wyatt's really come into his own, and it would not surprise me in the slightest if Wyatt was going to go over at WrestleMania.
Well, explain to me this. When Dean Ambrose broke his rocking chair, he's in tears. Now he's happy. It's burning. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's a different... You're just looking too much into things, James.
Bray's just a strange guy, is my point. But anyway, speaking of strange, a match that Walder has been looking forward to much more than me. And if you're under the age of, 15 and never watched TNA, you probably think you heard Sting on Monday night, but you really didn't. That wasn't Sting. I don't know what that was, but that was not Sting, and that was pretty damn terrible. The guys on the Law had a theory, and I like their theory. They think it was actually Dolph Ziggler doing the voice. WWE has denied this and said it was Sting.
They've actually confirmed it was Sting, or what?
They've said that it was Sting doing the promo.
Oh, well, maybe it was the Black Scorpion.
Well, yeah, and they've also... That's also been out there, that the WWE, this is their idea of copying the old Black Scorpion angle, which, if you're not familiar, we'll take a walk down memory lane. WCW, which this whole program is based on, which is stupid, considering 15 years ago WCW died, and literally a child that was born when WCW ended is now going out for his learner's permit to get his driver's license. Put that in perspective as we talk about an old angle back in the days of WCW where the Black Scorpion was going to face Sting, and every week you'd hear this ominous voice, and it was saying that it was coming to get Sting, and this was being booked by Ole Anderson, and oh, by the way, they had no idea of how to get out of this angle. They didn't know who the Black Scorpion was actually going to be. At the end of the day, the Black Scorpion ends up being Ric Flair. Only reason it ends up being Ric Flair is to get Ole Anderson fired and make himself the booker of WCW. That is your brief history of the Black Scorpion.
Riveting.
It is. It's almost as riveting as the Shockmaster, but not quite.
No, nothing's more riveting than the Shockmaster.
I said almost.
Yeah, I'm just saying, man. We got to have more Shockmaster references on this podcast.
Well, we got one there. Defend this match that I have no interest in, because it just keeps getting worse, in my opinion. Triple H and Sting fighting over something 15 years ago that doesn't even make any sense. If you were even going to go this route, Triple H acts like he was never in WCW. He was. He was terrorizing. He started there. I mean, why not do it based on that? Do it based on something that's actually real than this fictional story that they've created that Sting is coming to exact his revenge 15 years later.
Yeah, but he wasn't there during the prime days of WCW, so...
He was there for the Shockmaster and the Black Scorpion, I think.
Again, not the prime days of WCW. Well,
how dare you! How dare you devalue the Shockmaster like that?
Yeah, that was the pinnacle of WCW's success.
It was! That was where it started, and it just went downhill from there.
Look, I'm not a big fan of the whole Sting trying to avenge WCW and the way that Triple H has kind of bashed that company ever since it went out of business.
You're making money off of this company, by the way, with your network.
Yeah, well, again, you're just looking really hardcore into the specifics here. But
like, if you want to look up the Shockmaster, you can do so on the WWE Network for $9.99, $11.99 in Canada.
The average fan ain't going to be chanting about, you know, Triple H saying, well, you're making money off of the network. Like, no one cares about that.
No, but what I'm saying is, by him devaluing the WCW brand, he's hurting the WWE in the sense of selling the network, because WCW is a big part of that.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone's going to be looking too much into that. So, again, yeah, you're right technically, but it's such a nitpicky kind of thing. But
I am a nitpicky kind of guy. We've been doing this for over a year. Have you not figured that out yet?
You dig right into the crevice and you come up with some gold sometimes. But again, this is.
Oh, wait till we get to Total Divas. There is no gold to be found there.
I can't wait for that, but. Again, other than the whole WCW thing, I don't know how they would play off Sting coming out and, you know, sticking his nose in the authorities' business. If only, you know, maybe his reasoning would be he's sick of them being in power or whatnot, but they did that whole shtick at Survivor Series, and it's too late for that now. If you want a reason to be excited about Sting versus Triple H, it's that Sting's wrestling at WrestleMania. I think that's been the appeal the entire time. He's never wrestled for WWE, and now he's going to have his big payoff at WrestleMania 31 against Triple H, a guy who, well, I mean, we don't know how good Sting is anymore between the ropes, if he's going to get into, you know, better shape. We've only seen him, you know, one off with a t-shirt, you know. So Triple H is going to carry that to a respectable match. It's Sting. Sting's going to go over. That's why you need to be excited. Nothing more to it.
I'll book this totally better in 2 minutes than they have done. Here's what you do. Triple H is going to face Sting. Okay, that's fine. Guess what? Triple H runs the company. So, Sting, you can have your match. That's fine. I'll come fight you. Oh, by the way, we have a guest referee for this match. Yeah, you might know him. He's my best friend and your greatest rival in WCW. Yeah, Ric Flair is your guest referee for the match. There you go. Bingo,
yeah,
bango, bongo.
I'm shocked they haven't done more with Flair. They had that one instance where Triple H knocked him on his butt. And Ric Flair was warning him, but
it was the wrong way to do it. I think Ric Flair should have embraced Triple H and been almost like he was in the past, like as part of Evolution, like in his corner, like backing this whole thing with Sting. Triple H makes him the guest referee, and then Flair screws him over and Sting wins.
Well, too late for that now, James.
It is, but much better than what they've done, agree or disagree.
Yeah, much better, yeah.
There you go. But I don't have a WWE writing job either. Do you, Walter, by the way?
I do not. The Dream is... I just gave up on that, man. I don't
no rejection letter? Nothing?
Nope, they don't care that much.
All right, well, that sucks. Anyway, so that's that. I think we've done... Oh, yes, Randy Orton, of course, went to town on Seth Rollins in the main event. Gave him the double bird. Half the crowd gave him the double bird. The WWE in their PG ways didn't like that too much. Too bad. And Randy just beat Seth Rollins all over the friggin' building.
Yeah, which was way too long. And after, like, the first 5 minutes, I just stopped caring. I actually turned off Raw when they went into the crowd. I figured it was going to finish with him being either thrown off of a, you know, one of the aisles or whatever, or getting RKO through the table. And there was no other way than for it to end in that way. So we all knew the turn was coming. We all knew Randy Orton was going to attack him, especially when they got rid of J&J security and then Big Show and Kane were kicked out of the building. You know, the whole reason they stretched this out over a couple of weeks is because they had really nothing else to fill up the time. So now we get the payoff. It's Orton and Rollins at WrestleMania. That has yet to be confirmed, though. Should be a good match. But again, like we talked about earlier, the big payoff, him going through the announce table, already happened. So I don't know how they're going to top themselves.
And honorable mention, we won't get into this too much, but is this now a weekly segment on the show where Stephanie gets to come out and berate someone on the roster? Because that seems to be like a gimmick now. Every week, Stephanie comes out, she bashes someone into the ground. This week, it was the Big Show and Kane, which I enjoyed thoroughly, because I do not like the Big Show and Kane. But still, is this the best way to be treating your talent, to have them eviscerated? That's a JR word, and I think it applies here. Eviscerated by Stephanie McMahon each and every week on this show. Where is the payoff in this? Like, we could have had AJ and Stephanie, there's your payoff, but I don't see the payoff with her going after all these guys and bashing them into oblivion.
She's a heel authority figure. It works. It makes sense. It doesn't
because she's a female, because there's no payoff. That's the problem.
Yeah, so?
So? That's the whole point. If you're going to have a proper babyface heel dynamic, at some point the babyface has to get revenge on the heel. And you don't get that with Stephanie. That's the problem.
I just don't care about Stephanie in general. I like looking at her. It's just it's the same stuff with her, you know?
I love Stephanie, don't get me wrong. I think she does a great job at this. I'm just saying you need the other shoe to drop. Something has to happen in where Stephanie gets taken to task for this at some point, and we never see that.
But she's been doing that for a decade now, where she would come out, whether it was with Triple H or in the Alliance or whatever, where she was just like this authoritative woman who would talk down about people, and she never got in the ring, or rarely did.
Oh, her match with Trish Stratus, she got in dog poop and all sorts of things. She got her comeuppance there, but it doesn't happen nowadays.
That's the kind of payoff you want to see again?
I just want to see someone hold Stephanie accountable at some point. Like, someone has to... Like, she can't come off, like, as this strong bully female executive every single week. At some point, someone has to foil her every once in a while.
All right, James. Well, who would you put in that spot then?
AJ Lee, but they're not going to do that.
Yeah, exactly. That would be the logical choice with all of the Twitter stuff. But he's gone after WrestleMania.
Even gone or not, putting those two in a ring is asking for a shoot fight.
Is there anyone else on the roster you think that could do that?
There's not a strong enough female at this point. That's the point.
They tried Brie.
Yeah, Brie wasn't strong at all. And I mean, so weak that they booked Stephanie to beat her. I think originally, at the start of that program, Brie was supposed to win. I think that changed during the program,
when they realized it was Brie Bella.
Yeah, and she sucks. Which transitions nicely into the worst promo I have ever heard from anyone ever in the history of all mankind. the Bellas are watching themselves in the Flintstones movie. Let's just talk about that first of all. You know, if you were in your own cartoon movie, would you literally go on television, show yourself watching said cartoon movie, putting yourself over like that, Walter? You would do that, though, wouldn't you?
They were wearing the same outfit as they were in the cartoon. Like, that's enough said.
Wow. Like, well, yeah, but you didn't answer the question. I noticed you ducked the question, Walter. Would you do that?
I just tried. What was the question again? I'm trying to avoid this question entirely.
If you were in a cartoon movie and you were on a show, would you go on said show and watch your cartoon movie to put yourself over?
I would not, James.
Wow, I'm shocked. I was going to say that you were going to say yes.
Hell no.
All right, then. Walter, I have a shred more respect for you than I did when this podcast started. There we go.
That's what I do. I just lower my standards.
As for the Bellas, well, respect. Come on now. After this promo, they literally cut a Flintstones promo that was so painfully scripted and so painfully delivered that I just wanted to vomit.
Did you, though? Did you vomit?
I did not vomit.
You were on the verge, though.
But I yabba-dabba do not like this.
Oh, God. Whatever respect I had for you is on life support now after that. I yabba-dabba didn't like it.
No, I said I yabba-dabba do not like this.
I know.
Anyway.
That is bad, but that's all the Flintstone puns that those girls used, too, which was embarrassing. I felt terrible for them. You know they wouldn't say that on their own.
Yeah, thank God AJ did not have a live microphone to respond to that. I can only imagine what she would have said. She might not have made it to WrestleMania. Let's just put it that way.
Pipe bomb.
Yeah, I can only imagine what she was thinking in the ring. I mean, if you looked at both Paige and AJ after that, they were like, they had no words.
No words.
And no one else did watching. Which leads us to the season finale of Total Divas. My God, this show. Okay, there was two of them, which makes it even more painful. I noticed. I have learned something about Total Divas. 1 hour, you can survive. 2 hours, that's tough. Let me tell you.
It is, but you sat through both, didn't you?
I did. I marathoned my way through this. Some interesting developments in Total Divas. Let's start with Nikki Bella. That talented go-getter, Nikki Bella. She's thinking, you know what, she might be better off without the WWE. Because, you know, she could probably get a job, you know, being like some correspondent on television or do some movies. We clearly saw her great acting skills in that Flintstone segment. You know, like, I mean, but here was the coup de grace line. Nikki Bella's dream. Do you know what Nikki Bella's dream is?
No, sir. What is it? I'm dying to know.
Nikki Bella's dream is to be the female Rock.
What?
She said it.
To be the female Rock.
That is what she said. I would submit to Nikki Bella, and we have had some Nikki Bella rants from me on the show before, so get ready. Nikki Bella, before you get to become the female Rock, first of all, try being a half-decent wrestler. Try and cut a half-decent promo. Try and be, you know, who would be like a mid-wrestling chick? Well, you'd say it wasn't great, but was okay.
As a mid-wrestling chick?
Yeah, you know, she wasn't great in the ring, but she was all right. Average.
Gail Kim?
Oh, that's insulting to Gail Kim. I don't like that reference.
When she was in WWE.
Let's say Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch is very average to me.
Nah.
Try and be as good as Becky Lynch. Try and be as good as Charlotte. Try and be as good as Leah. Try and be as good as Canada's greatest export, the greatest ever women's champion, Trish Stratus. And if you can get through all that, then maybe someday you can be the female Rock.
Well, gotta give her some credit for at least being that confident in herself.
This is what's wrong with hanging around with John Cena. John Cena is to blame for Nikki Bella's delusions.
Hey, John Cena might be to thank if she ever leaves the company.
Well, we're getting there, Walder, actually. Don't you worry. As for Brie Bella, and Daniel Bryan was on Total Divas. Always exciting when Daniel Bryan is on Total Divas because he just looks so out of place. It's really awesome. Daniel Bryan's apparently writing a book for WWE about his life and everything, which that's serious, and I'm not making light of this. But then he's talking about this book with his wife, Brie. And Brie asks if he's going to write about her in the book, and he says, well, no. And she kind of smacks him, you know, that kind of wife-husband kind of thing. And then he says, well, actually, yeah, I'm going to tell the funny story about the first time we had sex. So are you ready to hear the story, Walder?
Oh, boy.
Okay, so apparently, Daniel Bryan, Brie Bella, somewhere in a hotel room across America. We assume America. It could have been Canada. It could have been Europe. Who knows? Anyway, they're in this hotel room. Two men bust in with cowboy hats and are naked. These men are not identified. We'll assume they're wrestlers, but who knows? Daniel Bryan ninja kicks both of those men with the hats on and nothing else. And then there is this strange reference that, oh, and yeah, and then Sheamus was patting your head while you were naked.
Oh, I can't do this anymore. I can't.
there was some kind of orgy going on when Daniel Bryan first hooked up with Brie Bella. That's the only thing we can conclude from that.
Oh, I just... No,
and Sheamus was involved!
Oh, that's what the idea for their feud was going to originate.
That's what the big Sheamus push coming back is. He's going to have the photos.
Oh, yeah.
Like Ric Flair back in the day with Elizabeth, remember?
Yeah, I remember that.
There we go. So that more on the Bellas later, but we'll leave them alone for now. Paige, has thankfully for her own self-preservation not been a big part of Total Divas this season, even though she debuted on it this season, whatever the hell it is. But she was a big part of the last two shows. And apparently was dating some guy in a band. Do you know who this guy is?
He's one of the guitarists for A Day to Remember, I think.
Okay, this guy is a wuss. Let's just put that out there right away.
Mm-hmm.
Paige basically is hooked up with this guy because she wants someone to screw around with. And she's made that painfully clear to this guy. This guy cannot take a hint. He literally almost is in tears. They've gone away on this vacation with the other girls, with your friend, Alicia Fox. And you were not on the trip with Alicia Fox, by the way.
I was not.
No. And the other crazy one, whatever her name is. She's unimportant. Anyway, so he's going to leave, but Paige thinks better of it, convinces him to stay. And they come up with this idea of them to move in together. And the guy says, okay, but you've got to come meet my mom first. So Paige goes to meet this guy's mom. And they're in this car, and Paige jokes around, says she's pregnant, just to be funny. And anyway, and then the sister of this guy lets it out that, oh yeah, he's been married before. And Paige was like, what? So yeah, and then it ends badly. Paige storms off, and that guy was not too happy either, so it looks like that's it for those kids.
This is really hurting my brain, James. I hope you're aware of this.
Well, we got to get through all this.
This is the worst. This is why I don't watch Total Divas. Just hearing you talk about it is just the most depressing thing imaginable.
It's good. It's good therapy. The redheaded stepchild. We haven't seen her in a while in Total Divas. You want to know what she's up to?
Sure.
Okay, her and her crazy
James?
No, her and her crazy husband have cooked up a business deal where some company was stupid enough to make red-haired extensions because of Eva. That company, they have issues. But nonetheless, they've cut this deal and they're going to do this shoot, and this is all without the consent of WWE, mind you. So, Mark Carano he gets on the phone with Eva, not happy about this, that Eva has posted these photos from the shoot on her Twitter account that clearly is for the WWE, and scolds her. And then the husband and her get into a big fight. Eva says she can't take her, him being her manager, because also when he's her manager, he basically treats her like garbage and tells her what to do and how to do it. And I think she has a couple of her friends that do her makeup and stuff, and he was ordering them around too. So yeah, things are not looking good in that happy marriage. So, but the good news is Tyson and Natalya are back together.
Yeah, they're still psychos together.
Oh yeah, on the Total Divas show. Yeah, they've been teasing it like they're going to get divorced for like the whole season.
Yeah, and that was all legitimate, right?
No, nothing on Total Divas I believe is legitimate. Come on now, Walter. But here, the big season-ending cliffhanger. Are you ready for this, Walter?
Sure.
We've had weddings. We've had, you know, is John Cena going to stick with Nikki Bella? But this might be the most compelling of all. The Bella twins have decided maybe the WWE isn't for them. And Mark Carano asks if this is the end of the Bella twins in the WWE.
Yay! Is this legitimate?
Apparently, it is somewhat legitimate, because I believe their contracts run out at the end of WrestleMania. So, the big cliffhanger going into July is, will the Bellas be back? Considering they are the stars of the show, I don't think there's much hope that they leave WWE.
Well, they're part of the marketing for the next season, correct?
I would think so. I mean, unless they spin it off where the Bellas try life without the WWE and then come crawling back because they fail.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, that's not going to be the case either. If they're gone, they're gone.
Yeah. And, oh, and one other note that I should have mentioned and sadly forgot. Nikki Bella. My God, it's been a Nikki Bella-heavy Total Divas segment, hasn't it? Nikki Bella and Brie, actually, get a text message from their brother. You remember him from that great Jerry Springer segment.
Oh, yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, so he sends them a naked selfie that he accidentally meant to send to his wife. So Brie does the, you know, natural thing, deletes it, feels kind of embarrassed for her brother. Not that Nikki Bella, though. No, Nikki Bella is showing everyone this picture of her naked brother that was sent to her. And it was apparently other members of the family, the Bella's cousins or something. And then Nikki Bella is shocked to wonder why her brother is upset with her over this.
This is seriously the dumbest stuff we've ever discussed. I'm so glad this show is done for till July. Like, I'm beyond, like, just discouraged about what the world has come to, that this show is still on the air and that these kind of storylines are warping the minds of our children.
Amen. The children are the future, Walter.
Well, someone please think of the children.
I don't know. Maybe Maria has to go back to WWE with Michael Bennett and save Total Divas.
It'll make it so much better.
We could have a shoot fight between Maria and the Bellas.
That would be cool.
That might be good. I don't know. But in all seriousness, Total Divas,
it blows chunks.
It's so awful. It's like, I mean, I can't even defend the show as being so bad it's good.
It's not even hilariously bad. It's just bad television.
Yeah, like, it's like I'm a big fan of stuff being so bad it's good.
Yeah, like, not this, though.
Like, for example, do you ever remember one of the original American Idols? You remember, like, Justin and Kelly?
Yeah, yeah.
They made that horrible musical movie when
Justin met Kelly. Yeah.
I watched that, laughed my ass off, because it was so bad, it was invariably good.
Why the hell were you watching it?
Because it was so bad, it was invariably good. I was flipping around the dial, I saw it, I'm like, oh, I gotta stop and watch this, and it was so bad I couldn't turn it off. Anyway, point being, that is how I used to feel about Total Divas. It has somehow sunk even lower that I cannot say it's so bad it's good. It's just so bad it's bad now.
Yeah, it's bad. And thank God it's off the air until July, so we kind of got a reprieval from having to talk about it, and Nikki Bella, and naked selfies from brothers and stuff like that. It's just too much.
It makes you wonder what possibly could be next for that show. I feel like in 3 seasons, they've literally done all you can do with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, rest in peace, Little Divas, for now. I know you'll resurrect yourself like The Undertaker, but please don't.
Anyway, so that was that. I don't know which is worse, Total Divas or this build to WrestleMania. It's up there. Like, I'm serious. I've never felt this way about a WrestleMania. I just feel like there is no excitement. There's no buzz. Like, all these things I've been hearing, like, people talking about, a lot of people have mentioned the thing that we both mentioned. You know, 3 of your main matches and 3 of the 6 guys in them aren't there. That's a problem. Like, there's been no mention of celebrities for WrestleMania, which is always one of the big things they draw. We had rumors of Ronda Rousey, maybe, and nothing said about that. I mean, Ronda still might be there, but they're certainly not promoting it. I mean, there's nothing compelling about this show to me. Like, if I missed it entirely, I don't think I would care.
You know, someone made this analogy on Twitter. WrestleMania 31 feels like a SummerSlam. Like, the matches
look... I don't even know if it's that good.
No, because, I mean, SummerSlam was always the poor man's WrestleMania. And the card, I mean, WrestleMania 31, the card looks really good. But at the same time, you know, like you said, with 3 of the main guys on the card not being there, you're really putting a lot of emphasis on the lower card matches. And at this point, the lower card matches feature some of the biggest stars in the company, like John Cena's fighting for the U.S. title, Daniel Bryan's in a multi-man ladder match for the Intercontinental title. So some of these singles matches that we're trying to put so much importance on, it's really hard to do. So, again, WrestleMania 31 is going to be, it's going to be just fine. It doesn't need a big build. It's WrestleMania. It's like if the Super Bowl had 2 teams that no one really cared about, people would still tune in because it's the Super Bowl. But will it hurt WrestleMania when it airs on March 29th, I believe? Absolutely not. We're all going to be thrilled that it's happening. We're all going to enjoy it and take it for what it is. But, of course, these Raws and SmackDowns leading up to it just suck. Don't even bother comparing it to Total Divas. Total Divas is on the next level in competence. At least Monday Night Raw is watchable on occasion.
They're lucky Total Divas is not running against WrestleMania, I'll say that, because it might draw more ratings.
Hey, The Walking Dead season finale is on the same day.
Oh, well, there you go. All the CM Punk fans are out.
Yeah, there you go.
But anyway, I don't know. I don't know if I agree with you. I don't know if I'm going to care about this show. Like, I really don't have any vested interest in how it turns out. I think this goes back to something I said a year ago when we started this podcast and we were building up to last year's WrestleMania. I said at some point WWE needed to rip off the bandage and stop with all this nonsense with part-timers being part of big matches. This is why. This is the antithesis of why. Because we've got all these big part-time stars, and oh, they're not there. They can't bother to build up their match. Well, guess what happens to the whole entire WrestleMania? It ends up like this. A complete and utter disaster. We could be 1 year built up of Dean Ambrose being in a bigger place. We could be 1 year built up of Dolph Ziggler being in a bigger place. And list the number of guys I could add in there. Seth Rollins, etc., etc. And then, going into this year's WrestleMania, they had bigger, more significant matches last year. Maybe it's not a stretch to have Seth Rollins in a main event level match. Maybe it's not a stretch to have Dean Ambrose in that type of match. But it is now, because you always rely on these short-term, quick fix, you know, stars that don't bother to show up for your television.
Without throwing your own two cents in, because I know you're overly negative about the card. If you were telling a casual WWE fan who hasn't watched the product in, you know, a little bit, and they're familiar with the characters, if you had to tell them three reasons why you should order WrestleMania 31 in terms of what's happening on the card, can you come up with three reasons? Without, you know, being overly negative like you are.
Well, I mean, Sting obviously is making his debut in the WWE. They're banking on that.
Okay, so that's one.
Old school fans. I mean, you're going to get to see Brock Lesnar, which, I mean, Brock Lesnar is always, you know, something to see. But, you know, I don't know if your older fans really care about Brock necessarily. You know, I see where you're going with this, but it's just like, how many of those people are you actually drawing in? Like I don't know. I think people have kind of checked out, like, to a point. Like, this whole idea of bringing back older fans, it's not happening. The network hasn't been able to do it. I mean, like, maybe they got to start to accept, hey, you know what? Our base is what it is. And we've got to start rebuilding our base and screw about always going back to, 15 years ago to do a promo, and maybe start looking towards the future.
That won't be the case immediately after WrestleMania 31, especially with WrestleMania 32 being in Cowboy Stadium. It's going to be the same formula once again. They're going to bring back all of these part-timers, try and fill up that stadium, try and convince The Rock to wrestle, Sting, Undertaker, Triple H, if Brock
Stone Cold, CM Punk. I mean, yeah. Literally, there isn't anyone that they're not going to try and convince.
Like, don't try and tell me that, you know, this is the year that Dolph Ziggler gets his push or the year that Dean Ambrose gets his push. Not this year. This is all about selling out that stadium. And if they don't feel confident about them being in the main event picture for a crappy WrestleMania 31, then Lord knows they don't stand a chance at WrestleMania 32.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this should have been a plan. Like, we've heard the rumors about Cowboy Stadium for, 2 years at least, right?
Yeah.
Like, the plan should have been to build up to that. And that should have been a celebration of this new WWE that they've created. We don't need to go back and bring Stone Cold or The Rock or Brock or any of these people. We built it that you want to come on its own. Now, could you have a moment like we had last year with the three guys in the ring? Yeah, that's fine. They don't have to be in. They can be there. I just don't want to see them in main event programs.
Well, that's what's going to happen.
Oh, I know it is now because that die's been cast, but I'm just saying, this goes back to one of the complaints about CM Punk. There's no long-term planning in this company. It's obvious.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. That's one of the big problems he had, that they would build up to these matches, and then the next night it would be like, you know, back to the drawing board, I guess. And Punk had to continue putting over these part-timers, and then his character was ruined, and, you know, the respect wasn't there, so it's like, okay, well, it's the same formula. If CM Punk was still here, nothing changes. It's how WWE runs its business. They don't trust some of these younger guys to be in the main event spot. They work with what's brought them to the dance already, and they're afraid to make any, you know, drastic changes. So,
like, how
I'm used to it. I'm cool with it.
Like, how does anyone in that Intercontinental title ladder match, with the exception of R-Truth, not feel totally slighted and insulted by the position there?
It's going to be the match of the night, probably.
And by the way, oh yeah, Daniel Bryan? Yeah, a guy with a neck injury, and you're putting him in a ladder match. That's really smart, isn't it?
He doesn't have to do too much. He's with seven other capable guys.
Yeah, but still, you can't, like, that's the type of match that you can't literally script it. Like,
yeah.
you can hope that everything will go okay, but we've seen countless examples of where it hasn't. And, you know, Daniel Bryan is in the line of fire. And that's why I say, you know, people get in this whole thing about WWE and Daniel Bryan and whether he's pushed or whether they even care. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. They don't care about this guy. They don't. They really don't.
No, you're right. It's, but his injury, his neck injury is obviously a huge factor. It was either this or a match with Sheamus that no one would care about, so at least he's in some sort of a program that people are at least a little bit curious of.
And if it ends his career, does that make everyone feel better?
It's not going to end his career. Remember when Edge competed in the Money in the Bank ladder match at WrestleMania 23, I believe, and he had neck problems? They wrote him off with one giant spot. Maybe they do that with Bryan.
Yeah, but they weren't. It wasn't to the point where Edge was later in his career where they thought, oh, one more bad bump and you could basically be paralyzed.
Right, but still, that's probably the way they're thinking.
I don't know. I just think it shows a total lack of care for Daniel Bryan. Like, let's put it this way. Roman Reigns would never be booked in... obviously, it's lower stakes. But even if it was higher stakes, Roman Reigns would never be booked in a match like that for WrestleMania. Neither would John Cena.
Nope, you're right.
It's just... I don't know. I am so down on WWE right now. And it's weird because... I'm so in love with what they're doing in NXT. I mean, it's like a night and day thing. Like, it's literally... Like, when they had the brand split going on, there was difference, but I almost feel like... I legitimately feel like this is two different companies, NXT and WWE.
It really is.
Even though they're not. Like,
yeah.
They really aren't. But with SmackDown and Raw, I know the shows were different, but I never felt that unique identity of this is SmackDown, this is Raw. It was all WWE to me. But with NXT and WWE, I feel differently. I feel like these are two completely products going in two completely different directions.
Well, just keep watching NXT. There's something out there for everybody. Obviously, NXT is our preference. We'll continue talking and watching that. So, if you don't like WWE, just stop watching, right? That's the ultimate, you know. I try not to watch as much WWE Raw as I can, but, you know, it's Road to WrestleMania. I want to see if they turn things around. They obviously haven't yet.
We've got to do this podcast, though, Walter. That's the unfortunate thing.
It'll just be pure Ring of Honor and NXT talk.
You see, yeah, it's eventually getting to that point, believe me. I'm much more happier when we talk about ROH and NXT, and I think it shows... in my voice and in how I feel about things. But this is like, in my old life, which is still your life, this is like having to cover this Raptor losing streak each and every week, and it never ends.
And I'll be on the Fan 590 on Saturday night to talk about it there. So, nice little plug for me.
There you go, Toronto people. Tune in to Walter. See what he would do to fix the broken Raptors, and he didn't really come up with any suggestions to fix broken wrestling, so don't expect much from Walder on that.
Cancel Total Divas, that's a start.
That's not a start.
It's not a start.
Give Total no, we can't do give Total Divas a chance. Kill that.
No hashtags there.
Yeah, no give Total Divas a chance, but my God, just as we leave, fathom the thought of Nikki Bella thinking that she could be the female Rock. And if you can make it through the week after thinking about that, please join us next week, where we'll talk about more realistic things like the Young Bucks coming in and stealing the tag team titles at WrestleMania, John Cena turning heel, and Vince McMahon will come out in the middle of the ring and have Sting hit him with a bat in the balls. All these just as realistic as Nikki Bella being the female Rock.